Tonight, we take a look at some of the entries in the 2007 Independent Games Festival. Plus, the PS3 in Europe is going to cost a lot of money, even though Sony gimped one important feature. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show, week of February 25th, 2007. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this net. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Catalarm, kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
Abe Lincoln is rampaging through the streets. Hey, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you are joining us live here on All Games Radio and not watching movies get awards, welcome. And you can go into our chat room, chat.allgames.com, and we will be reading comments from chat throughout the evening. A little bit later on, we are going to open up our Skype line. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word. Or you can call us toll-free in the United States and Canada, 1-866-880-0156. We're going to be opening those up probably in about a half hour or so. If you are listening to the podcast, you can leave us a voicemail on that Skype line, Bobby Blackwell Show. Or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, and you might hear your email read on the air. Maybe. And as always, I want to thank Kropotkin and Hendrix for providing their weekly audio game review this week. It was Okami. It's one guy in the UK and one guy in the US giving their honest opinion and a few jokes about a different game each week. We premiered on just before this show goes live, where you can download it as a podcast feed on our website, allgames.com. That link and many others discussed tonight will be on our website, bobbyblackwolfshow.com. And Kropotkin told me earlier today that I should announce, because I didn't realize this, but he's been keeping track. They've been doing this for 1 year. So I think this is like the one-year anniversary show of the Kropotkin and Hendrix game review. So congrats to them. 1 year's quite a long time to be doing it, to do any podcast. So congrats to them. And I probably would have prepared something more if I had known more than a couple hours ago. And also, one thing that I just want to mention is that we do have an Amazon affiliate link on All Games, which helps the shows. So GK128, when he decides that he's going to actually buy a game that we talk about on the review or on the shows, you should go to allgames.com and search for it in our little Amazon bar. And that helps us stay on the air and stuff. So GK128 should remember that in the future. So I got a few stories of my own to tell this week. We are going to be talking about the I'm going to talk about seven of the Independent Games Festival, the main category. I'm not going in like the student showcase and the modding category. The main category, the main portion of the Independent Games Festival. We're going to talk about seven of those games this week, and then I'm going to try to hit the rest up next week. Probably, I think there's another seven playable, and then there's a couple that aren't playable, and I'll talk about them. But this week, I did try to be a good customer, and I tried. I seriously tried, because I really wanted to give some more money to Sony. And so, you know, we know I have a PS3. I'm usually pretty hard on the PS3. But it's because I have one and I want something to play on it. And this week they released onto the PlayStation Store two games. One of them is Qbert, which is apparently a, you know, high-def new version of Qbert. It's not like what you'd find on Xbox Live Arcade, which is a direct port of the arcade. Apparently this is a brand new Qbert. And Flow, which is the Flash game, which was this dude's thesis that they have turned into a high-def experience. The reason I said apparently, it's because there's no demo. I guess maybe because I'm spoiled by Xbox Live Arcade and even like the earlier PlayStation Network offerings, there would always be a free downloadable demo. You know, everything had it. That Cash, Guns, Chaos, DLX had the demo. Blast Factor had a demo. Lemmings had a demo. Everything else had a demo that you could try before you buy. Not so with these new titles. And yes, it's true that Flow is available. It's a Flash game. You can play the Flash game. I'll link to it in the show notes. I was playing earlier today, and yeah, it's the same game. But I really wanted to try it on the PS3, and apparently, you know, if people are joking that Flow is the PS3's killer app, right? So, I said I will go buy this. So, I don't have any money in my PlayStation wallet, right? So, I pull out my credit card and I go to the... I find it's not easy to find. I mean, it's not like really labeled all that well. I mean, it's right there on the main menu. Account management. Then you can go into your wallet. And unfortunately, you can only add, like, you know, their increments. So it's like you can add $5, $10, $25, or $50. Those are your options. So I tried to add $25. And actually, the adding the money to the wallet was not the hard part. You know, put in my credit card information. Boom, it's there. Well, here's the thing. I will never have an empty wallet again. And it's because, like, these games aren't $8. They're $7.99. So I will always, even if I use up, like, all of it, there will still be, like, one or two pennies that Sony is keeping of mine in the wallet. I will never see those pennies again. Those Abe Lincolns that are rampaging down the street as giant reanimated statues, I will never see those again. I haven't finished Sam and Max Episode 4 yet. That's why I'm still in that mindset. So that was the easy part. Then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go buy Flow. And so I go into the PlayStation Store webpage, and I go select Flow. And I add it to the cart. And then I get the screen, and it says commerce.manage transaction placeholder text. Transaction failed. It actually said placeholder text. It's as if they didn't finish their e-commerce engine on this website. So I try it again. I check my wallet, and it hasn't deducted any money out. So I try it again, and I actually get to the next screen, and I say, okay, yes, confirm the purchase. And then it said, there are no downloads associated with this item. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. So I go back out. I go into the account management, and I look at my wallet, and I see I still have $25 in my wallet. There's nothing in my transaction here, history or anything. So, I go back to the store for a third time now, and I try to go in. That placeholder text error message comes up again. And I go back, and the third time it goes through, and I finally, you know, say, okay, yes, I'm going to do this. You know, it says, okay, you know, you have $25 in your wallet. After this, you're going to have $17.01. There's that friggin' 1 cent that I'm never going to see again. And then I do that, and it fails again. And I go back, and it, you know, fails, and this time it just says error. That's all it says, error. Commerce.transaction error. And it goes back, and the fourth time it finally goes through. And then I can finally download the 125 meg game. Yes, Flow is 125 megs. You can play the Flash game on their website. Anyway, so it took me about 15 minutes to purchase this game from their website. No demo, you had to purchase it. It's a great screensaver, once I did finally get through all that. And what's funny is I did get to go back to the transaction thing, the messing up. I got two receipts in my email. And one of them says, thank you for purchasing it. You have $25 left in your wallet. So, like, it sent me the receipt, and it didn't actually deduct any money. And then the second receipt actually showed that it deducted money from the wallet. So, it is a nice screensaver. And what it is, it's just like the Flash game that you can play. You can do a Google search for Flow, and the O is zero, by the way. Flow Flash, and you'll get to the actual designer's website where they have the full game there. Except it controls completely via the six-axis controller, and you can use one button to turbo or go faster, which is the left mouse button in the Flash version. And it is very it does flow really well. You know, it looks really nice. You know, I'm only running it at 720p, but it really looks really nice. And from what I understand, it does look nice in 1080p as well. Haven't really figured it out. It's one of those where they try to keep it really simple. You know, kind of like, you know, they look at, you know, Pong's instruction, avoid missing ball for high score, and they're like, less words, the better. So they're like, tilt to move, hit any button to go faster, go with the flow. That's it. And then it just drops you in the game. There's no menus. There's no HUD. There's no text. There's no score. There's nothing. It's just you're this little amoeba thing going around and eating other things. And as far as I can tell, you can't die. But essentially what you do is you go around, you eat things, and then you can go down to the next level. And then there's some creatures that some you have to like hit their weak points, which makes them go red from the massive damage. And then you can eat them, too, once you break them apart and stuff. And when you get deep enough, then it starts over and you get a new creature. And then you keep going down. And it saves at the beginning of these creatures. So I got to the third creature, and I was like, okay, I've had enough of the flow here. The screensaver has adequately protected my screen. So it's kind of like, and what somebody else said, and I can't remember who said it, was in our chat room a couple days ago, said it's more like art. It's not a game. It's art. And it's art that you would go in and appreciate, but it's not, you know, don't think it's a game. Apparently you can have a second player go in. You know, you can have a second controller, and they can just immediately jump in with their own little amoeba and go in and play with you. Well, we haven't tried that yet. I still haven't actually opened my second controller. I still have it in the box. So, Pen15 asks, how long till you beat the game? I don't know. I played for a good 45 minutes in one sitting and got to the third creature, so I don't know how many other creatures there are. It doesn't seem there's really a boss character. You just keep going down further, and then you wind up, like, there's no, it doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason. You just go into this little whirlwind and you become this new character. So it's not like it's a boss character, and they can attack you. I think it's attacking. Like I said, there's no instructions, there's no explanation. And I think they do attack, like the other creatures will start attacking you if you get too close. But instead of dying, you just go up one levels, and then you can go around, eat things, get more powerful, and then go back down and try again. So there's really no dying. And GK128 says, totally sounds worth $5. Too bad you paid $8. And DC Nate says, it does make sense about it being art. The guy is doing it for his MFA thesis. So, you know, it is kind of a thesis in some kind of theory. I mean, I remember reading a little bit about it a while ago. I didn't read it today, which is why I can't rattle it off at the top of my head. So, yeah, it is some guy's thesis, and it's good art. I wish there was a demo, just because I really wanted to see how it looked on the PS3, but I guess maybe that's why Sony didn't release a demo, because they knew people like me would buy it. Glitch720 says, Flow is Spore plus Pac-Man with no real reason to play. I wouldn't really... I mean, it's more in-depth than Pac-Man, I will say, but it might be like Spore. I haven't... I'm not hyping myself up on Spore all that much, because I am already hyped up on it, and so I haven't seen, like, I think there is gameplay out there of the amoeba level, but I don't know if this is it. The Rob D says, can Flow really be called a game if there's no challenge? That's a very good question. You do lose, like, you can see that you lose points and, like, lose parts of your body, and then when you go back up, after you lose all your body, then you go up one level and you can get parts of your body back by eating other creatures. But Giant Enemy Spanny says, you can't die in Prey either. And I beg to differ. You can die in like the first two or three levels. I learned that one. And, you know, speaking of, you know, shooters and stuff, all you people who say I don't play shooters, yes, I did get to chainsaw my boss in Gears of War on Thursday night once. I got chainsawed about 50 times, but I was sitting there doing stuff in XNA, trying to, you know, do stuff with my XNA program, and I get like 50 invites from like Tedekin and Scott Rubin all to come in and play Gears of War, and so I did, and I chainsawed a couple people in the hour and a half that we played by Sub-Z. I should add that, because he's in chat gloating. So, another game that I did try out was a PC game, because I haven't really played, like, I've played, like, the stuff that's on GameTap and stuff, but I haven't really touched any of the recent PC games, so I really wanted to try out Supreme Commander. So I downloaded the 1 GB demo, and, you know, I didn't think my machine was that bad until I played Supreme Commander. It's a Pentium 4, 2.4 GHz, it's got 512 megs of RAM, and it's got an ATI Radeon 9800 Pro, AGP. It did not like Supreme Commander all that much. Now, I mean, I figured out, like, it works really well if I turn all the settings to low in the video settings. But it works okay if I put it on medium. I can't have it anything higher than medium. I can't have it anything higher than 1024 by 768. So it was playable. I liked it. I mean, I was having a little trouble with it because the tutorial, they don't have, like, an in-game tutorial. It's like they pull you out to a website and you're supposed to watch these videos, which I didn't do because I don't need instructions. But I did actually like, you know, what I had played. I might actually go pick this up since it. I do know that it'll run on my computer because, I mean, I haven't really played a good real-time strategy game in a while. And, you know, this one's a little bit, it seems a little bit more simpler. You don't have to, like, build houses or, you know, stuff. There's still, like, resource management and stuff, but it's more building up enemies and attacking, you know, than let's go build a couple houses over here so you could house the peasants that will work in your tower that will produce more armies and, you know, stuff like that. This one seems more, you know, run and gun for an RTS, if that makes any sense. And Pen 15 agrees, tutorials must always be in-game. And, yeah, no, well, I mean, I think that the tutorials will be in the game in the full version because the tutorials button is in the game. But what it did is it just popped me out to Firefox and loaded this screen, this webpage that said Supreme Commander Demo Tutorials. So I guess to keep the file size down, they didn't put in the tutorials because I bet there's, like, a lot of FMV and stuff. There's a lot of video and speech in this. So, I mean, the game was already, the download was already, like, over a gig. So I can see why they probably took it out of the demo, seeing that all the assets and how much the assets were. And also, Pen15 says that I shouldn't need to upgrade. The designer should have made the game play on lower-end machines. It does play. It just doesn't play at the highest settings. Medium, to me, looks okay. You know, I don't think I'm missing too much on the medium. And it plays great on low. It's just you don't see as much. Citabria says, I replaced my CPU for Supreme Commander. I know a lot of people who are, you know, really hyped over Supreme Commander. Sub-Z says, it's a PC game that means if you upgrade, you are good for one or two more games, and then you need another upgrade. And GK120 says that the lack of RAM in my machine is the problem, and I need to get some more RAM. I bought a PS3, so it's like I can't afford RAM right now. And I only did like the one of the the first campaign level in the red, whatever the red faction is, what are they called, the hybrids that are trying to liberate themselves from the humans and stuff. Yeah, them. I was doing most of the campaign from the first one. Gonna go into some news stories really quick here. Don't have that many news stories because I know I want to talk about those games and I want to talk about the Independent Games Festival. So just a couple quick highlights. This is not an exhaustive look at any of the news this week. But Joystick reports that Neo Geo and the MSX are dusting off their parts and are going for some of the virtual lovin', joining the swarm of out-of-retirement consoles on the Wii's virtual console. The two will debut this spring in Japan and probably worldwide thereafter. Nintendo's already confirmed Eggy, or Eggerland, we think, and Aleste for both 800 Wii points for the MSX, but has yet to list any Neo Geo titles. Additionally, more third parties want in on the Virtual Console Enterprise, including G-Mode, Pony Canyon, Spike, and SNK. Both new Virtual Console formats have the potential to bring in notable franchises to the download service, including Neo Geo's Fatal Fury, Metal Slug, King of Fighters, and Samurai Showdown, and MSX's Bomberman, Castlevania, Contra, Dragon Quest Elite, Final Fantasy, Gradius, Metal Gear, Puyo Puyo, and Wizardry. So I think that's cool that they are going to probably bring in some other consoles, although a lot of people are like, yes, Metal Slug on the Virtual Console. I'm like, you can buy Metal Slug on a disc for the Wii. So I don't know if they're going to be doing that. And there are some people that were saying, you know, they wanted to see some other consoles, some like other CD-based games. And I don't know if those would work out too well because of the small memory size of the Wii. You only get 512 megs of storage. There's that 512 again, you know. And some people are thinking that maybe, you know, they'd want to see the CDI. And then they're saying, yeah, then they could play those really bad Zelda games, which, sorry, even if the CDI gets on a virtual console, Nintendo's not releasing those Zelda games on it. Sorry to burst your bubble. And Pen15 says, for the Wii, no, come to the 360 instead. And the Rob D says, if the Wii doesn't get King of Fighters, then SNK is a weenie. So, and then this is for our overseas listeners, which we have some in live chat right now, and others that listen to the podcast. GamesIndustry.biz reports that Sony has changed the specification of the PlayStation 3 for Europe, raising doubts over the number of PlayStation 2 games that will be compatible with the next-gen machine. That's right. David Reeves, president of Sony Computer Entertainment Europe, says, quote, rather than concentrate on PS2 backwards compatibility, in the future, company resources will be increasingly focused on developing new games and entertainment features exclusively for PS3, unquote. Sony has said that a new combination of hardware and software emulation will enable the PS3 to be compatible with a broad range of original PlayStation titles and a limited range of PS2 titles. The backwards compatibility list for the PS3 will be released on launch day, March 23rd, with additional titles being compatible through downloads via the PlayStation Network. And a Sony spokesman told Reuters, quote, the backwards compatibility is not going to be as good as in the U.S. and Japanese models, unquote. In other words, they're just basically trying to take the cost of the PS3 down, and I bet they're not going to lower the price in Europe because it is astonishingly high in Europe compared to the rest of the world, but they're trying to lower the cost so maybe they can try to get closer to making a profit, I guess, or trying to lose less money on each system sold. But that is a big blow because, I mean, Kropotkin on his news report, actually, he spends half of his UK news this week talking about this one story. And he basically says, you know, that he talked to a number of people and they were trading in their PS2s to play the PS3 or to get the PS3. And now, you know, you may or may not be able to play your PS2 library on the PS3. It's more like the 360s backwards compatibility. So I feel sorry for them. Sony really seems to be backpedaling on a lot of this stuff. You know, sorry to you guys in Europe, and, you know, I hope that you guys stop getting the shaft soon. But Sony still thinks they're winning. And it's funny. This is kind of related. I didn't put this in the show notes, but I was watching Gamehead, which is on Spike TV. And, yes, I know that we don't like Spike TV and that, you know, their video game award shows sucks. But I actually like Gamehead. It's hosted by Jeff Keighley, and they did this thing at the DICE Summit where they talked to like Reggie Fils-Aimé from Nintendo, and they talked to Phil Harrison from Sony, and then Shane Kim from Microsoft. And they all think they're winning, obviously. But Phil Harrison was really funny because I just had to stop. I had to pause my TiVo, and I was just cracking up dying because he was sitting there talking about, you know, the upcoming games that were coming out, you know, MotorStorm and stuff. And he said, and this is almost an exact quote, I am very happy to see that people have put up side-by-side comparisons of MotorStorm actual gameplay with our E3 2005 video. He actually said that. Now, what he didn't tell you, and what Jeff didn't show, they even showed like part of this video on the screen when he said this, is that those videos were made by people bashing Sony for not meeting their target render. Like, they were saying, look at how much Sony lied. And Phil actually said on Spike TV, I'm very happy to see that these videos are coming out because it shows that we're committed. And I'm like, dude, you're dumb. Another interesting thing that came out of that Gamehead was with Reggie Fils-Aimé. And Jeff kind of cornered him and or tried to corner him several times. And Reggie backpedaled. Nintendo really did backpedal because they asked about online multiplayer in Metroid Prime 3, something that we talked about last week here. And Reggie backpedaled. Basically, what he was trying to say is, no, there is not going to be online multiplayer in Metroid Prime 3. He hasn't actually come out and said that, but he did not say it's looking good, or we've been looking at it and it's looking good. He just said, we're looking at it. We're looking into it. He actually backtracked from his previous statement, which he apparently said it was looking good. So, but he did say that Pokemon Battle Revolution was going to have, you know, online multiplayer, but he kind of backpedaled on the Metroid, which is kind of telling. Glitch720 wants me to remind you that the Gamehead DICE coverage is on GameTrailers.com. And actually, you can go to SpikeTV.com and also see the actual Gamehead as well. They actually did some other stuff with Game Trailers. They have, like, this partnership with Game Trailers on the show. So, yeah, it's pretty telling to see, you know, to see some of the stuff that they'll say. And, you know, congrats to Jeff Keighley for actually asking some of the tough questions and actually getting kind of an uncomfortable answer from Reggie. So anyway, we are now at the midpoint of the show. After the break, I will start. I'll open the phone lines, and I'm going to also talk about the Independent Games Festival. Seven of the games that are in the Independent Games Festival. We can't play this music on the podcast because we are broke. So go to our Amazon affiliate link and help us out there. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
There's a game going on, and you're invited. Join Don, Derek, and Jeremiah when they go out of character every week. Or sneak a peek into the lives of your favorite game designers on Inside Track. Hear Pop Gamer cast judgment. The best games and the worst games are now subject to the King's Court. Get your gaming fix at pulpgamer.com. That's PULPGamer.com. It's your turn to move.
You're listening to The Bobby Blackwolf Show.
Mortal Kombat on Sega Genesis is the best video game ever.
I disagree. It's a very good game, but I think Donkey Kong is the best game ever.
Donkey Kong sucks.
You know something? You suck.
On allgames.com.
Thank you, K-Dog96, for that bumper. Sent me three, so I was going through them. I played one last week. I played that one this week. If you want to send in a bumper, you don't have to be a professional audio guru and a professional radio guy to send in a bumper. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. Say your name. Something about your being back on the Bobby Blackwell Show. Something like that. And I'll put some music behind it. Or you can email me an MP3 at blackwolf@allgames.com. And the promo we played was for Pulp Gamer. They are a... they don't cover computer games. They cover the other type of gaming. Board gaming, tabletop gaming, stuff like that. Don Dem is one of the hosts of that, and he emailed me that saying they were going to play my promo, and so I was going to play theirs. They were one of the ones that were on the Podcasting for Games panel at Dragon Con last year, so check them out if you are into board gaming, tabletop gaming, any forms of the non-electronic gaming. They got a good show over there, pulpgamer.com. I'm going to go ahead and I will open up the phone lines, but I'm going to discuss the Independent Games Festival nominees, at least some of them, and while I'm waiting for calls. So Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. If you do call in and I'm not answering, it's probably because I am not looking at that screen, because I'm looking at what I'm talking about in terms of the game. So I'm not going to talk about all the games tonight. I've only looked at seven of them, and the seven that I'm going to be talking about are just the seven that I really wanted to see. These are all available if you go to IGF's website. There is an Audience Choice Award, and all of these are playable. I played the same downloads. You get them from GameSpot. And some of them are demos. Some of them are the full game. It really depends on who made them. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take this call before we start talking about them. So Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Raven Stolfin,
what's on your mind, man?
What's on my mind was Sony. Remember when Sony was bashing the 360s and the software was that'll never work, and then now Sony's doing their thing. Oh, we're going to software. All the games will not work.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, they did that with the PS2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the slimline version doesn't have the PS1 hardware in it. It's all software.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they took out the PS1 chip. I'm pretty sure they took out the PS1 chip out of the slimline. That's one of the ways they got it slimmer. And it is all software emulation for the PlayStation 1 games.
So, do you know any PS1 games that don't work on the slim?
Not off the top of my head, but I'm sure there are.
Okay, and yeah, I found that very interesting that the Xbox 360 does it by pure poor software emulation.
Mm-hmm.
And Sony's been mocking that. They said, you know, we're not doing that. We're going to put the hardware inside the PlayStation 3 and all the games will work.
Well, to be fair, a lot of people, I don't know if Sony themselves said this, but a lot of analysts said it. And, you know, even a lot of people in the industry have said it, that Sony's plan all along was to eventually take the hardware out and make it all software eventually. I just didn't think they'd do it this soon.
Me either. I have to say this last thing. Does the Wii play every GameCube disc? Because I heard Reggie said it plays 530 of them.
I haven't found any that it doesn't work with, and in fact, it even works with my freeloader. So I have Soul Calibur 2. I have the Japanese version for the GameCube, and it loaded just fine on my Wii using the Action Replay, which has freeloader on it.
Okay, so we can say for a safe bet that all? Can we say all or just...
I wouldn't say all. I wouldn't say all, because you never know. There could be like that one weird game that does something. But, I mean, the Wii just pretty much has the GameCube hardware in it.
Yeah, I know, but overclocked. So I'm just wondering that, can it play all, or is it just like a really good percentage?
I will not say all, but I will say a very, very good percentage. I would not be surprised if it could play all of them.
All right, and I'm surprised that the Xbox plays not it uprises it to 720p.
It does? Not on my TV.
It did on mine.
Halo 2 uprises to 720p.
Yeah, Halo 2.
But not other games, no.
Oh, does it? Okay.
No.
Okay.
The other games are at 480p.
Okay, Halo 2 looks nice on my television.
Right.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks.
That's it.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. Yeah, I do know that it upreses Halo 2, but that's just Halo 2. And it's just because it's Halo 2. That's the only reason they did that. All the others that I have seen, you know, and I look, they're all at 480p, which most Xbox games were at 480p to begin with. You know, if you played them on an Xbox with component cables, you could get a 480p signal out of most of them. There were a few that only had 480i, and I would expect the 360 to also give a 480i signal on those. So I'm going to go ahead and start talking about some of these IGF nominees. I'm just making sure that I've got the phone call mute. Yep, okay, so we won't hear the ring. First one I'm going to talk about, it's called Bubble Islands. It's from Dot Invasion. This is a Flash game. It's in the best web browser category, and it's also in for design innovation. This is reminds me of, like, Bust a Move in terms of it's a puzzle game where you've got two little bubbles on two sides, and you have cute characters that you're fighting, playing against. It kind of combines, like, Puzzle Fighter with the cute characters and the fighting the characters aspect. Kind of like Dr. Mario, I want to say, because basically you want to get at least four colors together, and then it's kind of hard to describe some of these because it's like, I want to say it's like this game, but it's really not. So you have two colors side by side, two little balls side by side. And you cannot flip them vertically. You can only flip them horizontally. So you can move, like, if it's a green and a red, you can only make it red-green. You can't make it like Dr. Mario where you could make it vertical. Basically, they all fall to the bottom. So if, like, you know, you've got a stack of, like, a tower, and you put it on one side of the tower, the other one will fall down. So the object is to, you know, clear off four colors in a row. And then if you do that, you will drop, you know, other eggs or whatever they are on the opponent's side. And this is all done in Flash. It's got a little music soundtrack. So that I mean, it's a puzzle game. And it was pretty fun. I mean, I played it for a good while. Wasn't, you know, didn't get bored with it easily. So it was kind of interesting. So it's up for best web browser and design innovation. So that's what it's up for. I don't think it's very innovative in terms of its design. It kind of reminded me of any other puzzle game out there, especially with, like, cute characters and stuff. But it, you know, in terms of, like, animation stuff in Flash, there are very talented Flash animators that worked on it. So the next game that I'm going to talk about real quick here, Gamma Brothers from Pixel Jam. This is also up. It's only up for best web browser game. This is a combination of Galaga and Geometry Wars with an 8-bit color palette, or 8-bit graphics, pretty much. So you've got, you know, it's all pixel art, pixelized graphics. And essentially what you are is you are in this, you know, space car, kind of like from the Jetsons, what George Jetson drove. And there are these enemies that come out kind of like in patterns, kind of like they do in, like, Galaga or something, you know, where they'll curl around and face you and stuff. And you're basically trying to shoot them down. Arrow keys move, WASD fires. You're basically just trying to kill. I mean, it's basically a retro action game. And actually, if you go to Pixel Jam's website, that's what they do, is they do, like, these neo retro games, which are retro looking games using new technology. It's pretty much what they do. And I think this gets executed pretty well. You get two lives, and the way that they do it is kind of interesting, is that two people actually leave the hangar. And the other guy, you know, then kind of goes back into the background and just flies around. And as you get hit, parts of your car flies off, your George Jetson car. And then you're finally, like, right before you die, you're, like, in a spacesuit. And you're still firing and stuff. And then if you die, the other guy comes in and takes over where you left off. So you only get two lives. It was, you know, really responsive to me. And I felt like I got pretty far in it. And you can get, you know, there's power-ups and other stuff. So it's got all the classic fighting game elements, you know, or shoot-em-up game elements. Not fighting game, shoot-em-up game elements. So it's a good, it's, you know, it's something good to check out. Out of the ones that are in the best web browser category, that was actually my most favorite to play was Gamma Brothers. The other one that was in the best web browser category, there were only three of them in there, so I'll go ahead and round this out. Samurut 2 by Amanita Design. This was also up for Excellence in Visual Art, and this is a point-and-click adventure in the ways of point-and-click adventures that you have no clue what's going on, where, you know, it's kind of like the Myst syndrome, where it just puts you there, and you're supposed to just do something. Apparently, the plot is that, you know, you live on this moon, you are this alien guy, and you live on this moon, and you have a puppy. And these other aliens land on your property, and the puppy goes out, and they abduct the puppy and leave. And so you get into your spaceship and follow their spaceship to their planet. And then you're basically, I guess, trying to get your puppy back, maybe? So but you're trying to get your puppy back, and it's mainly all these puzzles of trying to figure out how all these weird contraptions work and stuff. It's a lot of nice, it looks even like hand-drawn graphics. You know, a lot of nice hand-drawn graphics. The puzzles are complex. You know, it's like you have to try to, you pull this lever over here, and you have this monkey jump from this tree over to this tree, because when you pulled the lever, the horn went over, and you could dump seeds into it, which went into the water pot that the, you know, and then you had to plug up this other hole, and eventually the alien that was standing in your way goes to drink the water and falls asleep. It's a long, elaborate puzzle just to get him to do that, and there's apparently like 8 levels of this. And I did find a walkthrough. There is a walkthrough on the web. You have to search for it. And even then, I was like, what the hell am I supposed to be doing? So yeah, Samurut 2 looks really nice. And it's, you know, your normal point-and-click adventure game, but really, really, really difficult. So it's only really for the hardcore adventure game fans. In the design innovation, to round out the design innovation category here, Torabash from Nabby Software. This was in for design innovation. I believe this is the one that Chrisville 1724 really liked. What this is, it is a quick-thinking martial arts simulator, except you have all the time in the world to do your quick-thinking. You basically, there's these two bodies on the screen, and there's apparently, like, in the full version, there's, like, this online mode where you're actually facing against someone else. And you basically, it's like a turn-based strategy game where you basically decide what limb or what joint or what muscle is going to move in the next for the next 10 counts. And I think you have, like, 200 counts in an entire, quote-unquote, fight. And so basically you say, okay, I want to extend the left arm or contract the left arm or, you know, relax the left arm. And essentially what you're doing is, you know, there's all these joints on the screen. You know, like you can have the ankle, knee, thigh, you know, butt. What, you know, they actually do have the buttocks there. And you can contract and move those. And all these make your character move a different way. And essentially you're trying to beat the crap out of the other guy who's doing the exact same thing. And you can, the demos show like these very elaborate things, you know, like how to jump. You have to contract this muscle and expand this one and relax these and all that stuff. So it was actually pretty fun to kind of play around with the seat. You know, I was like, can I headbutt the guy? No, not really. You know, it's seems very deep, and it's one of those that would take you a while to master. So that's Torabash, and it's, graphics aren't all the best. I mean, it is basically just spheres and geometric shapes, you know, kind of like it's in the Matrix or whatever. And essentially what it does is you do these counts for every 10, you know, 10 counts, you tell your guy what to do. And in the single player, you can actually, like, move the other guy too. I guess it's supposed to be for two players. And then it shows you the entire 200 counts, the fight, like in this free-flowing. So it's all, you know, just these martial arts moves type of thing. And I actually thought it was very interesting, and it's something very fun to play with. The other one in design innovation was Toblo, which was designed by the students at DigiPen Institute of Technology. Last year, they designed this game called Rumblebox from DigiPen, which was basically, it was a fighting game where it was all these guys were made out of geometric shapes, and as you killed them, you started, like, in this, like, box at the bottom of this box, and as you killed them, you could walk on top of their geometric remains. And the object was to kill enough of them, which it only took like one hit, so it was basically button mashing or key mashing in this case, to get out of the box. So DigiPen goes back into the block concept with Toblo, which is what I played was a capture the flag type of thing. But what you can do is you have this little guy, and there's all these blocks around you. You can pick up these blocks and throw them at the other team. So instead of shooting the other team, you're trying to hit them with blocks. And you have teammates that are dumb. And what I played was the capture the flag version, where you basically have to pick up the block, which is the flag, and take it back to your base. You know, typical CTF stuff. So, and it was kind of fun, and you know, it's all geometric shapes and stuff. And apparently, there's a little bit more with the team AI that you can do. Like, you can call them to you or release you. But I didn't even try all that stuff. But they would always go with me. Or it seemed like they would always go with me, because, like, if I would go after the flag, they'd go with me. And nobody would really stay back to defend our base. So they would send one guy. The other AI, which apparently was smarter than ours, would send a guy over to take our flag, and, you know, I'd have to run back and defend. But if I hung back and defended, they all hung back and defended, too. So it was kind of hard. Like, I couldn't figure out how to issue a command to say, you guys come with the base, you cover me. And they have, like, these little bubbles, these little talk bubbles that come up. They're like, man, their base is really fortified, or, you know, let's go get their flag, and, you know, other, like, little say balloons that come up over them and stuff. So I won one match, and the other match, they just, I couldn't figure out the AI. So, but that one was actually kind of interesting to play, and it's, like I said, it's by the students at DigiPen, which was kind of cool. And then the last one, which was one that I really wanted to see how this worked, there's always, it seems like there's always, like, this one or two games that really kind of push the limits of control. Like, last year there was a game in the IGF where everything was controlled by one button, and that was it. And it was basically made, you know, it's like, oh, can a person with limited mobility in their hands play a game? And this was a game they could play. All you did was push a button, and it was, I can't remember the name of it, but basically it was all gravity and stuff. And so it was swinging around things in gravity, and basically the one button turned on your gravity drive, and so you swung wherever, and you're basically trying to get through. This one uses your microphone. This one's called Racing Pitch. It's from Skinflake, and it's up for excellence in audio, obviously. And essentially what it is, it's a racing game, but it's more like you have the cars on a track. So it's kind of like you're, you know, like if you had one of those little RC car tracks when you were a kid that had the thing in the center, and the car basically stayed on, you know, on that rail, and you could, like, build these loop-de-loops and stuff. But the difference is you control the entire game with your mouth. So you have to have a microphone set up. And literally, you look like the biggest dumbass, stupid guy. I mean, you know, take playing DDR in front of people. That can sometimes be embarrassing. There is no way playing this game will not be embarrassing. It will be funny as hell to see people playing it at GDC. Because what you do is you're at this microphone, and this is how you drive. And you're basically doing that, and you're holding that, which means you're running out of breath. And as your voice goes up, and they actually have different characters with different frequencies. So, like, if you have a higher voice, you'd pick a character that had a higher voice. And as your voice goes up, that means you go faster, and you have to slow down to go around the curves, or you'll hit the side. So it was really fun to play, but I'm so glad I played it alone where nobody could see me. Because it's just one of those that it has the potential to be very embarrassing. And there's some other minigames in there, like there's a drag race where you can't, you know, overheat your engine. And then there's the balloon, hot air balloon, where you have to try to get across the screen by blowing. And when you blow, that's when you put fuel in the balloon and make it go higher. It is very interesting to see what they did with the voice stuff. And, you know, a lot of people have been talking about, you know, oh, man, you know, the DS has a microphone. What can we do about it with it? You know, like WarioWare had some DS, the microphone games on the DS, but this is a game that is completely controlled outside of the menus. It's controlled by your mouth on a microphone. So it's probably a game that could be played by people who don't have any mobility. And Pen15 says, I stopped listening to the Black Wolf. I have no idea what he's doing and now seems like a crazy man with a mic. I guess that's what happens with when you're talking about this. See, even when I'm talking about it, I feel like a dumbass. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. If anybody wants to call in, I am done. I'll be talking about some other games next week. Actually, the last game that was on my list was Robo Blitz by Naked Sty Entertainment. It's up for the Seamus McNally Grand Prize and Excellence in Visual Art. However, most of us have probably played it on the Xbox Live Arcade already. And in fact, they had a booth at GDC last year showing off this game. So there's not much I can really say about it. It's using the Unreal Engine. It's very small. They packed it into 50 megabytes, and it's all, you know, gravity or, you know, physics and stuff. And there's a lot of physics-based games in this year's competition. We'll talk about some more of those next week. And also some of the games that aren't up for the audience award. Like the two games I think that have the most nominations, you cannot download. There's no demo. There's nothing. Shadows Liar says, Black Wolf and Scott have a habit of reading chat comments you don't want them to read. I guess so. And also, I want to thank whoever did this. I have no clue who he is. He's obviously somebody who's in our community and knows a lot. We're on Wiki now. We have a Wikipedia page, Bobby Blackwolf Show, and it has not been put up for deletion yet, so I'm very happy about that. So we do have one call. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Blackwolf, it's Pen15.
Hey, man, what's on your mind?
I want to know more about your experience playing Supreme Commander, because it seems very noob-unfriendly.
It's noob-unfriendly in the fact that I didn't use the tutorials. So it's like, you know, the noob-unfriendliness to me was where I didn't know. They're like, build units. I'm like, okay, how? You know, who do I click on to build this unit? And basically clicking around, I finally figured out how to build that unit. And some of the actions to try to get the, like, you know, when I built, like, these air fighters to try to fight the other air fighters, to actually go in and fight them and not just fly around them. That's kind of where the noob unfriendliness came from. I didn't get to finish, like, the entire first mission just because I had to go do something else. But it seemed to me it was a little bit more noob-friendly than other games that have a lot more resource management. What have you heard?
Really? Well, I mean, just by looking at it, like, the game just in concept seems cool because it just seems like playing with a bunch of G.I. Joe toys.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, all the menus and just the scale of it, it seems like intimidating. Like, I'm pretty old school. Like, I only can manage to play Age of Empires. Like, I find, like, StarCraft too hard.
Right.
So when I look at the game, it looks like so much fun, but a part of me almost wishes it was a bit more dumbed down so that I could actually jump in and play it.
Well, I will say it does start you off very small. Like, you don't start off playing any of those huge maps. Like, it, you have, like, you know, at least in the first mission, you have, like, this very small map, and you're like, okay, there's these guys up top, and there's, like, three fighters up there. Or there's just stuff you can bomb, so you build bombers, you send them up there, and that teaches you how to make the bombers and how to look around the rest of the map. And then they're like, okay, now we're going to extend the map down here and pull, you know, have you go down there. And then by the end, I can see that, you know, okay, yeah, the map is huge, but you've been introduced to it piece by piece. It doesn't thrust you in to that first to a huge map with so much going on at the first experience. So they do ease you in as if you were a noob. It's just I wish that the tutorials were in-game and not videos for the demo.
Another question is, when, like, I play Age of Empires and my mouse is over anything,
mm-hmm.
like a little window pops up to tell me what it is,
yep.
and what it does.
That's
does it
there.
Do that in this game?
Yeah. Okay, it tells good. You what it tells you what it is, and it's right when you put it over, it tells you what it is, how much health it has, and how much, like, energy it takes or whatever. And then if you keep it over for, like, another second, then it will actually pop up the description on top of that. So, yes, that is actually a part of the UI, and that's in there. And if you click on it, it'll tell you everything it can do, and all the mouse over tooltips are there and everything.
See, that's the one thing I have been able to see in preview, so I'm glad you told me that, because now it might be actually worth to upgrade my computer.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is a game you'll probably want to upgrade. I don't understand why real-time strategy games have been, like, are now all these graphical intensive stuff, even though I can kind of see, you know, because you can scroll out and see the whole battlefield. Although they do cheat, and it's all, like, they show icons, like little red icons that you would kind of see on, like, a computer screen, you know, instead of the actual fight taking place. I don't know if that's because I have low settings on or what.
I think it might just be that, you know, the RTS genre is now going, hey, we don't have to be the kind of ugly ducklings of the PC gaming world. We could actually use the power that's there.
Right.
Because, yeah. I mean, I played Age of Empires on, like, really, really old PC.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, this game, I can tell, even though I haven't seen it at high quality, that it probably does look really beautiful on high quality. But it doesn't look all that bad on medium, so, I mean, I may actually go pick it up myself. But, I mean, I have heard, like, from some people the multiplayer is more like Zerg rushing. You know, it's whoever can Zerg rush the quickest. So, I don't know how it is online or anything. They don't have that in the demo, I don't think.
And my last question is, can you adjust the speed of the game?
You can pause it, and when I paused it, it actually says, you know, unlimited timeouts remaining or something. But, I mean, I don't know if you can actually, like, adjust how fast it goes. I haven't looked. I haven't looked that much, but I can look that up for you, and I see you during the week. I can I can look in the demo and see if that's in there and let you know.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Great show.
Thanks. So that is it. That is all that I want to inflict on you guys this week. I want to thank you guys for being a part of the show and making it what it is. All Games Interactive with Scott Rubin, Lawrence Young, and Jessica is live each and every weeknight from the Arena Interactive Lounge in West Los Angeles for a little while longer. 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com. Unfortunately, the Arena Interactive Lounge is closing. So sad. Ron is getting out of the gaming industry and is selling off all the assets, and AGI is looking for a new home. But I record from my apartment, so I'll still be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio, so you can catch us live and interact with the show directly. Next week will be the end of our IGF preview, as the following week is GDC, and I will be out there. So if you are going to be at GDC, hit me up, blackwolf@allgames.com, and I'll see if we can find a time to meet. I know a lot of us podcasters, both on and off All Games Radio, are trying to get together and do something, and I want to make that happen. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic or leave a bumper for use on our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com or join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in our community. However, we would not be able to make this live show work without the help of the chatters. DC Nate, GK128, Hendrix, Blackboy, Broodwitch, Burr, Chrisville 1724, D5T, Drunk Pandas, Fifth Dream, Ichiban, Mako, Refi, Seymour Booty, Shadows Liar, The Rob D is doing the Donkey Kong, Toshin, NXS Jokill, 2K Sports Fan, AGN, Alt, Arcatan, Ash Fox, Circle of Paper, Cedabria, Defo, Engda 59, Funnydale, Gav, Glitch 720, He Called the Crap Poop, sorry, can't say the whole thing, Hitstun, Hyperion, Interlogic, James Patrick, Kitsune, More of a Pimp, Nicobon, New Shiny CD, Pen 15, Soul Brother Rule, Rare, Raven Stolfing, Sets is doing the Donkey Kong, Stone Raider, Sub-Z, Tala, Tall Kid, TDB30, Tedekin, Tiger Claw, True, VX Jason XV, Will Khan, and Zappy. So once again, I wanted to thank you guys for being a part of it. Thank you, Raven Stolfin and Pen 15, for calling in. Good luck to all the IGF people in the IGF competition. They were all really fun. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.